Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Going through a bit of a declutter phase at home at the moment. Hutsy, have you ever done one of these? You go through your stuff and find out what needs to go?
Yeah, I try, but I get sidetracked.
Oh, okay.
For me, the biggest thing that I'm hoarding is just clothes. I've got so many.
Oh, really?
Articles of clothing.
Some you are still a fashionista.
I am.
You are known as the leading fashion doyen of the far south coast.
It's like good to just have all these clothes, even though I never wear them. I wear the same like five shirts every week. I just rotate through the shirts. Wednesday is, you know, St. George Illawarra Dragons polo shirt day. It has been the last few weeks. It falls on that day, but I've got stuff we've still got tags on it.
It was very handy when we were doing the isolation thing because I could tell what day of the week it was when I came into work because Hutsy's got the Dragons polo shirt on. It's a Thursday.
I get too sidetracked though. Like I've got that many old sporting uniforms I just simply can't throw it. Or I start to like, all right, I'm gonna make a point to declutter and get rid of clothes. And then all of a sudden I get sidetracked when I get to a certain article of clothing. I'm like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
And it's like,
going through the memories of it. Yeah. I think that's why a lot of people like cling to stuff. I remember like, I think it was just a year ago, there was a show called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, this Japanese lady. It was on Netflix and she talked about throwing away everything that doesn't spark joy. So that's what we've started doing, but we're kind of like, well, how do you figure out what sparks joy? This is Marie's definition of that.
Feel the item in your hands and see how your body responds. See if it sparks joy in you.
So I did that. First thing that I listed to sell was the exercise equipment. This ain't sparking any joy in me. It's gone. The cat was touch and go for a while, but my wife said, no, we're keeping the cat. I'm like, okay. And we put a couple of pieces of furniture up on Facebook. We've never tried to sell anything on the Facebook marketplace before. Have you done this?
Yep. I'm not going to see where you're going. This is just like, it's, oh, God. If only people stuck to times that you gave them.
We took some photos, you know, spent an hour picking the best filter that would show this secondhand gear in the right light, put it up there and started getting bites.
Great.
People made an offer to buy it. We're like, fantastic. Organized a time for them to come around. We're like, great. Now, when we put the photos up, we listed the size of the items. We gave them the dimensions. We had like a couch and a blanket box. And so the first thing to sell was the blanket box. And it was this couple that came around and they looked at it and went, yep, here you go. Gave us the cash. And I'm like, oh, great. And
they're
like, we'll put it in the car right now.
Fantastic.
Even better. Get it out of here. So we picked it up, me and the husband, and we carried it down to this station wagon. And there were a couple of kids in the back seat, and we tried to stick it in the back. And I could see the look on their faces as we head down towards the car. They're looking at the blanket box. They're looking at the station wagon.
Oh, that's when you're
looking at the blanket box, looking back at the wagon, and you're like, this ain't going to fit. And it was like just a couple of inches too big for the car. And then they're like, oh, we can't fold down the seats because the way it's set up, the baby seat is on the fold-down seat.
Yep.
And any parents listening know that trying to take the baby seat out is just...
You're not going
to
fight that.
Oh, it's like it's not worth it. I'm like, well, what about the six-year-old there? Can she go on the roof racks? Just cling on, Billy?
That's it?
Where you get this blanket box
in? Someone's
lap.
I don't know.
No. So we carried the blanket box back to the house while they went to get a trailer. And then we got an offer for the couch.
Oh, great.
This young couple came around to get this this foldable couch. Pick up the couch with the bloke, carry it down towards the car, start getting the looks of the couch, back to the car, back to the couch. I'm like, it ain't going to fit. And they before we even tried, they went, this isn't going to fit. So we just left it in the driveway while they went to get the trailer.
Oh, cool.
So, and look, I understand this because I've been one of those people that goes to shop at like IKEA or something and you go to buy stuff and you're thinking, yeah, this will all fit in the car. And next thing you know, someone's like trying to ride in the boot or something because nothing else is fitting in there. They need to develop an app where you can take a photo of the boot of your car or the back of your car and then you can like Tetris in, you know, on the screen, you can Tetris the items in.
Or you can be one of those people that takes the next level. It's like you'll measure something with your hands because you don't have any tape measure and then you hold them perfectly still and you walk over to whatever thing it is and you go, oh, yeah, that'll fit.
That's it.
Because your hands haven't moved at all while you've been walking with them.
It's a lesson learned now at having this happen twice to us. So I think the next time if we sell something on Facebook and someone rolls up and they don't have a ute or trailer with them, I'm just going to be like Krusty, just go,
you just keep right on driving.
Come back later.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Yesterday, there was one video that was making headlines all around Australia. It was the now notorious milkshake video as part of the sort of consent lessons that kids are going to have to do in mainly pretty much high school now.
The Good Society is the name of the series of videos. There's a website dedicated for all these, you know, different ages of learnings and things and videos they can check out, but this one just, it got absolutely smashed from the moment it came.
Yeah, it involved a bunch of kids sitting in some sort of, it looked like even the milk bar in Summer Bay is more, the diner there is more convincing than the scene they had set up, but it's these two young kids, a boy and a girl, sitting at the counter there with milkshakes. In the background, their friends are playing pinball. So right there, the scene is completely unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And at one point, the girl asks her, I guess it's supposed to be her boyfriend, or
I guess
if he would like to try her milkshake, and then there's an awkward scene that ensues where she mushes her
forces the milkshake upon him.
Yeah, just smears it all over his face and stuff. The whole thing was very unbelievable. They should have gone with the original actor that they had portraying the boy, which was Daniel Day-Lewis. He gave a much more believable performance.
Do you want to try my milkshake?
I drink your milkshake.
A lot more dramatic.
I think people would have been on board with it a bit more if they'd stuck with him. But all the videos have been taken down now, and you can understand why. Because the kids sitting in the classroom having to endure that video, that would be like, it would be groan-inducing.
Painful.
Not just painful for the students, but the teachers having to present that as
with
well.
With a straight face as
well. They probably did the right thing. It's kind of like that. There are those subjects, though, that you just loathe when you're at school. Yeah. I liked going to school. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of the subjects I loved, but there was one in particular that I dreaded to the point where I would ask Mum to write a sick note for me or send me to the doctor, and that was PE, physical education.
Wow, you're the opposite to everyone else. Everyone else was like, yay, it's a bludge. We go outside and do some free-range running or whatever, and then it's like, you know, easy subject.
No, it's not easy. Like, in year eight, for PE, they did this thing with the pummel horse. Is that what they call it? The horse? And you had like this sort of mini springboard thing, and you had to run up to it and vault over the horse.
Oh, easy.
And I'm like, why do I need to do this? Why are you trying to get me to do parkour at school? I'm not going to be like in an action scene with Jason Bourne or anything. I don't need to know how to vault over stuff. I'm quite happy to pay for the train. I'm not going to leap over turnstiles or anything. Just leave me alone. I don't want to do this. But no, I was forced to do it, and I sucked at it. I was so uncoordinated. I could not do the horse. It haunts me to this day.
I used to love PE, but I hated doing the beep test. That always killed me.
I was never subjected to that, fortunately.
I would rather play one of Jigsaw's games than do the beep test. It still scares me this very day, but the subject I hated the most was maths. I even joined the choir at Bega High School in year 7 to get out of going to maths.
Were you a good singer, though?
Nope, I was terrible.
No, right.
Lip syncing was my specialty.
But you're like, it beats algebra.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I hated it that much. Wow. I did choir.
1-300-92-1250. We're reliving your school days, and we want to know about the subjects that were painful. Like, you know, if sitting through that consent video, how painful was your hated subject at school? Give us a call, 1-300-92-1250. Kath in Cobargo, what was the subject at school that you thought was the most painful?
Latin.
Oh, the dead language.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, that truly is one of those subjects where you go, when am I going to use this in the real world?
Practicality.
Like, unless I am trying to exorcise a demonic spirit from some child, like in The Exorcist, when am I going to use Latin?
They said if you go to be a doctor, you'll be right there because all the doctors, you know, words and things are all based on the Latin language, apparently.
Right.
So that means you'll be able to actually be able to understand their handwriting when they're writing things out as well. Does that put that in the category as well?
Can you give us a little bit of Latin now? Do you remember any of it?
All I know is sunt.
Oh,
sunt. What does that mean?
I feel like we have to bleep that out.
Is that means ah.
Okay. So that's what Latin pirates would do out in the high seas. Sunt.
When they stretch the legs.
Yeah. Sunt, me hearties. Sunt.
That's the one.
How did you go in that class? Did you pass with flying colours? Or?
Yes, I did pass, but, you know, I think most people dropped Latin.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, they get that a lot.
I think all of Australia's dropped Latin now, but thanks so much for chatting with us this morning.
That's all right, thank you.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
So easy to find. Whatever service you need these days on the interwebs, all you got to do is just Google whatever it is you're after.
Mm.
So usually when it comes to online dating, though, you've got your Tinders, you've got your Grinders, you've got Plenty of Fish, you've got all sorts of matchmaker websites online to help you find the perfect person that you're looking for. But what about a service where you're looking for someone to bear your child?
Or Married at First Sight.
Married, exactly right. Married at First Sight. There's a service for that. It's part of a reality TV show.
That's where you go.
Exactly right. But one man in Canberra has been making a few headlines, though, because he's gone the old school method of putting flyers in people's letterboxes to try and find someone that he can basically bestow his wealth, that he says, upon in the future. He's 32 years old. When I hear that he's looking for an heir, I just picture Dr. Evil in Austin Powers, that's for sure, when it comes to
who's going
to
take over the world when I die?
Okay.
An heir. It's like, I picture like royalty or something like that, an heir to the throne. I don't picture a 32-year-old that claims he's got lots of money.
Because I was confused at first when you were talking about heir. I was like, oh, what, like Arnie just going,
give this people air.
I'm looking for an heir. What, oxygen? Is this what you're after?
This guy, man, like, had no luck on those dating apps and things. He's looking for someone between the ages of 18 to 26 in that bracket because he believes that would provide the optimal health outcome for the child that they're going to be sharing together. And he's been posting how he's looking for someone to fill that age gap to become a surrogate mother to the heir to his whatever throne of money that he's got.
Because normally if you go on a first date, if someone asks if you want to have children, that can be a red flag.
Absolutely.
Straight away. You usually leave that conversation for down the track once the relationship develops. But sounds like this guy, before he even sits down to dinner, he's just like, are you going to bear my children?
Exactly,
no, no bread for me. I'm out. Thank you.
Just hands out flyers as well. So his lawyer has also come to the table to create a legally binding contract so he wouldn't be required to pay child support. So what he offers is a one-off payment of $5,000 to the mother. And then basically the child inherits his estate when he passes away.
So she has to raise the child by herself with no support from him, and then the big payoff comes when he croaks it.
Yeah, he sounds like quite the catch, doesn't
he? He's amazing. How has he not managed to find a woman before with a personality like that?
Exactly right. And he simply says that the only time he wants to see the child is maybe 5 days a year around Christmas time to get those, you know, horrible sweater photos and things like that. So he just wants to take the glory of being the fun dad at Christmas. But the most surprising part is he says he's actually had some people get back to him about this.
Okay.
But they haven't.
I mean, how big of an estate are we talking here? Are we talking millions or potentially billions?
Obviously, he didn't disclose that amount, just for maybe the gold diggers and things like that. Maybe that's the second conversation after he gets a reply about the flyer as well. But yeah, he reckons he's been successful.
He's claiming to be a Nigerian prince in the flyer.
I get those ones every week.
That's a red flag.
That's the one there. But police are saying, look, at this stage, they're going over everything with, with
a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, and a magnifying glass, saying because he could have broken some potential laws here. So they're going through it just to make sure if that's legal, what he's trying to do.
Like, what, littering laws?
Maybe. The service of basically paying someone to, you know, do this sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
So, but they are saying, though, if you do get any of these flyers, they're actually saying you take a leaf out of Ian Kiernan's book, A Clean Up Australia guy, saying, you know, just when you get the flyer, reduce, reuse, recycle, get rid of it.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.